Prayers of faith, hope, and love, let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah. Continuing with in the book of John, today's reading is from John 5, 31, 47. If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me, and I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message. But I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you do not have his message in your hearts, because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Your approval means nothing to me, because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Yet it isn't I who accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say?
Just to take it.
So, I'm too high, Ernie. So what it was a video of was me getting hurt at Summer Jam. You can't even get hurt in safety anymore. There's cameras everywhere. So I was thinking, too, the Summer Jam people that run things, I realize I've become a part-time player. Can't expect me to get through the whole week. If you've never been to Summer Jam, it's more than just fun and games. When I got home, Carrie called the medical clinic, and the person was asking questions. And so she said, "Is this a work-related injury?" Carrie says, "Kinda. What does he do?" Yeah, it's hard to come back from that. So I'm not clapping today is because my shoulder is still hurting. In the book Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, he writes about a criminal case in Chicago. He used to write for the Chicago Tribune. A guy named Dixon shot a policeman named Richard Scallon. And it seemed like it was an open and shut case. All the evidence was pointing against the defense or Dixon. There was fingerprints. There were eyewitnesses. There was a motive. He was known to be violent. A policeman got shot. And in the end, he also pleaded guilty. Within 2 days of the case, an insider contacted Strobel and said Dixon was set up by the policeman. They did a second court case, and what had happened was Scanlon had a .22 caliber ballpoint pen gun in his pocket, which is illegal. And in the struggle, the gun went off, and in a sense, he shot himself. Strobel went after Dixon and said afterwards, he goes, "Why did you plead guilty when you weren't guilty?" He said, "In the plea deal, I got 365 days. I had served 362 days. There was no way I was going back to court with the possibility of them giving me more time." Strobel said he learned a valuable lesson that evidence can point in more than one direction. In the same way, we need to determine if what God has said about himself is true. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray you open our hearts and minds to the truth about your life, death, and resurrection. The scriptures declare that if we place our trust in you, we will not be disappointed. Help us to put our faith in you, even though all of our questions and uncertainties in life have not been resolved. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in 1 John 5, 6 to 12. This is the last part of the book of 1 John. I'm going to read it to you. Ernie will get it up. There it is. "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is truth. There are three that testify: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he's testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." In the first part of the letter, John is focused on the inconsistencies of those who are causing trouble for the church community within and without. John, the elder, is trying to help guide these house churches that were situated in the city of Ephesus. They would have been made up mainly of Jewish Christians. The ones creating the turmoil in the church claim to be representing God, but it's obvious by their actions that they're promoting their own self-interests. They've broken away from the church and no longer believe that Jesus is the Messiah or the Son of God. In the second half of the book, the author focuses on how these Christians are to respond in the midst of trials and difficulties. when we can be proactive instead of being reactive, the final outcome will lead to healthy conclusions, not only for us, but all those we will influence around us. John clarifies who can be trusted among all the voices that clamor for our attention. 1 John 5, 6, 8. It points us in the direction of understanding the mystery of God. Verse 6 starts by saying, "This one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ." The idea of water and blood here is referring to Jesus' baptism and then his death on the cross. Jesus' ministry began with John the Baptist baptizing Jesus in the Jordan. You might remember at this event that John the Baptist testified that he saw the Spirit come upon Jesus as a dove and remained on him. Matthew 3:17, it says, "After Jesus' baptism, a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased.'" 1 John 5:6 in our text continues saying, "He did not come by water only, but by water and blood." Jesus' ministry ended with his shed blood dying on the cross. Why John is emphasizing Jesus' baptism and death was to challenge those who were causing confusion and misunderstanding in the church. There were those who were promoting the idea that Jesus was merely a man until his baptism, and then the Christ descended into Jesus in human form and then left again before the crucifixion. It's important to understand that Jesus was completely fully man and fully God when he walked this earth. As a result, we can identify with verses like Hebrews 2:18. "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." If he wasn't fully human, he could not say he had been tempted like we are tempted. John wants to make it very clear that Jesus' death as God is the key component to our freedom in Christ. There's no forgiveness for our sins or way to atone for our wrongdoing without Jesus' death. In 1 John 5, 6, 7, John says, "There's a third way to verify or testify what is said about Jesus is true." The first two are his baptism and death, but the third is the witness of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Not only did the Spirit reveal himself at Jesus' baptism, but the same Spirit comes to all who believe in Jesus, both testifying and confirming in our hearts that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Romans 8:16, "For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Over and over, the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of us confirms that we belong to God as his children, daughters and sons of the Most High God. For those who have not yet had the opportunity to encounter a relationship with Jesus, it can be hard to explain. It's like you know that you know that you know that it's right and what Jesus said is true. But the only way to verify this truth is to experience it yourself. Barry McGuire tells a story about the difference between knowing something out of knowledge and knowing something out of experience. He says, "Could you remember the first time that you had a wiener roast with your children? And you put a marshmallow on the end of the stick. What do the kids want to do? They want to grab the marshmallow, especially when it gets fire on it. It's getting more exciting all the time. And you as parents say, 'No, no, 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 don't touch that. Don't touch that. It's hot. It's going to be,' what do? At some point, the kid grabs the marshmallow. And it goes at that point from just mere knowledge to when your flesh is against that hot marshmallow to fully experiencing it. We can gain all the information possible about the life and history of Jesus Christ, but until we choose to encounter him through a personal relationship, it'll never change us. 1 John 5, 9, 12. We can be assured of our faith in God. Verse 9 continues by saying, if we receive human testimony, which is used in court cases all the time, even though we are not perfect, how much greater is God's testimony? And this is God's testimony. He testifies and validates the truth about his Son, Jesus Christ. It is God's divine authority that affirms Jesus' baptism and death. And it's God's Spirit that testifies to the good news of the gospel. We all have opinions on things that are based on our knowledge and prejudices. The difference with God is that he is all-knowing and is not biased in any way. He remains completely consistent and faithful. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His works are perfect, and all of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Then continue on in 1 John 5:10. For those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. For those who accept what God has said is truth, they're able to internalize it. It validates their faith. Each of us must make the decision whether we believe what John is saying about God is true or false. In the book's Letters to a Skeptic, the author says, it would no longer be faith if it wasn't some measure of uncertainty. There are daily things that we take for granted that'll happen around us, even though we fully may not understand how they work, such as the air we breathe, to the rising of the sun, to the gravity that keeps our feet on the ground. For thousands of years, the Christian church has survived by affirming the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in every way, we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. In the second part of 1 John 5:10, he goes on to contrast those who believe with those who do not believe in God's words. John says that those who do not believe God's testimony make him a liar. This is a very strong statement by the writer. We must keep in mind that his words are confronting a group of people that are dividing and splitting these church communities. The Apostle John draws the dividing line in 1 John 5:11 and 12 by whether a person believes in God and what God has said about himself, or if they choose not to believe. Verse 11, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. So whoever has the Son is life. And if this is true, so the opposite must also be true. Verse 12, whoever does not have the Son does not have life. We were never made to do this life on our own. In fact, we can't. God created us to be in a relationship with him and each other, and it won't work any other way. When we attempt to strike out on our own, we become our own gods, and the results speak for themselves. We're self-centered. Everything in life must revolve around us. And for us to win, it means someone else needs to lose. We play win at all costs, and it becomes convenient to sacrifice others for our causes. When Jesus enters our lives, it should transform every part of our being. It shifts from being all about us to being all about Jesus. And what is important to Jesus? We are. When we finally entrust our lives to Jesus, his equation turns us from the scenario where our winning means someone else needs to lose to a win-win. God's big enough and loving enough that we can all experience enough love, enough acceptance, enough forgiveness, enough wholeness. As a result of our freedom in Christ, we can stop trying to manipulate and control everyone and everything. Instead of placing our trust in ourselves, we place our trust in God. 1370, Tamerlane became the leader of the Mongol Empire. He was regarded one of the greatest military leaders, but he was vicious and cruel and violent. He ended up ruling over the Middle East, India, and Central Asia.
He ran a scorched earth policy. Less, the more people that survived meant they could rebel. He had an army of 200,000. And he said to them, after every conflict, bring back a skull or two with you. In the 35 years, they killed 17 million people. He died at 69. He was about to invade China in the wintertime. Question. Why did people support Tamerlane and join his army of evil? Because they saw themselves benefiting from wealth and power. In contrast, look what Jesus, who has all power and all authority, does in Philippians 2, 5-8. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born in human form. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. By how we're living our lives, does it look like we are following Tamerlane on the path of power and riches, or Jesus on the path of humility and sacrifice? You can only choose one path. What John the Apostle believed to be true was evident both in how he lived and practiced his faith. He based his faith on the fact that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to our world to make a way for us when there was no way because of the contamination of sin in our lives. Jesus, being fully God and fully human at the same time, freely gave his life in our place so all people of all time would not face the penalty of death and could be restored to relationship with God. At some point, our belief in God, or lack thereof, will be obvious by how we live our lives. Matthew 3:44, Jesus tells a short story to explain what the kingdom of God or a spiritual kingdom is about. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. The man who found the great treasure had to decide what was most important to him. He could either maintain his possessions or sell all he had and obtain the treasure in the field. He could not have both. It was one or the other. The same is true for us. God is not going to entrust the riches of his kingdom to those who want to add him to what they already have. For those who say they've tried faith in Christ and it doesn't work, my question is, did you really let go of all the other pursuits? For those who try to live in two kingdoms, the one of this world offers and the kingdom that God offers, you'll be the most miserable of all creatures because you cannot have both. As a Christian community, we testify to the fact that Jesus is God, and it's only in him that any of us will find fulfillment in this life, hope, and love that we all so desperately seek. The early church leader, Augustine, was once confronted by a man who showed him an idol and said, "Here is my God, where's yours?" Augustine replied, "I cannot show you my God, not because he is no God to show, but because you do not have eyes to see him." It takes faith to believe in Jesus Christ, but I believe it takes equally more faith to live like the God of the universe is not a part of our lives or our world. God reveals himself to us, but we'll only see him once we put all the other treasures and self-pursuits aside. Let's pray. God, we ask you to come and take the things that are blinding us from who you really are. Give us the strength to take up our cross daily and follow you. We want our lives to reflect the truth of what we believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. have a couple announcements, benediction, and we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Again, I can't thank the people enough who helped this last week with Summer Jam. I think that there are actually treats here in the back room somewhere that may show up. So before you leave today, make sure you get a treat. And if they aren't there, I got bad intel. The other thing is it really is an important meeting. The Plan to Protect meeting is going to happen on right after the service on August 8th. It's for anybody that works in the nursery, children, youth. This is something that our denomination as church has embraced even legally to protect those who are most vulnerable. And so if you're involved with these age groups, every year we run the Plan to Protect. It was more difficult to do it with the whole pandemic. But so I just encourage you to make sure that you make yourself available. The meeting will not be long afterwards, but we legally need to go through it. I think it's the 8th, is it? September. Yeah. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, "That's my truth"? And I'm thinking, what on earth are they talking about? When I was young, I was quite embraced politically. I've come to change my ways. The political system is the humanity's way of trying to fix the world's problems. And they're doing a great job, don't you think? It's never going to work. But you and I have held certain things really strongly. And then a month, a year, a decade later, we don't even believe that anymore. Our truth, we're flying by the seat of our pants. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that it's God's truth about himself, about what he says about us, that's what's going to last forever. Amen.
Okay, please stand with us.
I'm
Have a great week, everybody. Carry on. Keep doing it out there. Ready? Back to praise.